suffering for us with maybe with your dad. Could you help, Mark? It's good to see you. I put you on the spot. Man, is that okay? Okay, okay. All right. What? Oh, okay. Well, then, how about if James asks the blessing over the offering this morning? Amen. Amen. And I was thinking there was one more announcement, and I, we had our announcements. It'll come to me. Kids, as soon as the, no, I'm not going to let you go just yet. Can I ask a question? When do your kids graduate? Thompson, Thomas's. Oh, I thought it was this year. Okay. I just was wondering about that. I thought the twins were... Kids, you're now dismissed to children's church or to Sunday school or whatever we call it. Everybody else open up to Hebrews chapter 11. No. Oh, yeah, that, David, that was smart. That was smart. You still riding your bike? Well, I'm glad to see everybody here this morning, and we need to close the door. Sometimes it gets loud back there. But the sermon today is entitled Your Faith Journey. I also had another title in my mind, and it talks about the way faith works in our lives. But I was thinking about the fact that our life and our spiritual life is like a journey. As beginning, as a destination. For Christ followers, your faith journey began right at the crossroads. I like that idea of it beginning at the crossroads, because that's where you received Christ and you trusted in him, that his sacrificial death on the cross atoned for your sins and enabled you to walk in fellowship with God. I mean, that's the beginning of a spiritual journey. And sure, before you came to Christ, he was organizing things to get you there, putting in you in places and surrounding you with people, and perhaps leading you into a circumstance that caused you to call out to him. But the truth is that your spiritual journey started at a crossroads, and that was just the beginning. And the journey isn't supposed to be easy, and that's what I want to talk about a lot this morning. You see, walking with God simply offers certainty about the destination and assurance of his companionship and his help along the way. You know, in your spiritual walk, there are going to be hills to climb, right? There are going to be hills to climb. What's neat is when you climb a hill, you get to hang out on the top of the mountain for a while and get a view. I've been riding my bike a lot this spring, and we don't have many mountains. We have no mountains in Northern Virginia. We have little hills. But what I do like is the fact that when I get up to the top of one of them, I can go like crazy down the other side. All right, so we like that mountaintop experience, that hilltop experience. But then, you know, there's always going to be a valley, right? And the valleys are usually less pleasant. It's a little darker in the valley, and we don't have as great a view of things in the valley. And certainly in the valley, we just have to endure a little bit. We have to get through it. But then there's things that happen in our lives where you ever come to a place where the path diverges, and you got to choose which way you're going to go, all right? Is anybody following here that this is metaphorical? But the idea is there are things that happen in life, and we have to choose whether we're going to go this way or that way. But then there's also merges, where you come to a place where two paths come together, and you don't have a choice. You just got to keep moving forward regardless of what comes your way. And then, of course, there are people that we meet along the way that share the journey with us. Sometimes we share the journey with them for a short portion of the of that path. Others, we're going to enjoy that journey with them for life. And I was thinking about how in a faith journey, there's a lot of unseen, right? There's a lot of unknown. And one of the things that we all have the benefit of, at least those that walk with Christ, is the Bible gives us kind of a roadmap. You see, there are other people that have walked this journey ahead of us. And the Bible includes the record of their life and how they dealt with struggles and challenges and opportunities. And by reading that, we can learn how this faith walk is supposed to work. See, because I think God wants us all to know how faith works in our life and how it's supposed to change us. So we're going to go to perhaps one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It's Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. It says this. Do you all have Hebrews chapter 11 open? Did anybody open it in the Pew Bible? 974, thank you. I was looking over here at my family. They used to call it out. They're all looking at their phones, and it is Bible. I was just checking, all right? I was going to say something, but Carol doesn't have a Facebook account. But anyway, not just saying, right? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. For this is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from life, so he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Like a stranger in a foreign country, he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to a city with a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. Father, I thank you for the word that you have given us. I ask, Lord, this morning that as I bring forth this message, your anointing would be upon me, your Holy Spirit would direct and guide my thoughts. Take the study that I did this week and help me to use it to effectively minister encouragement and hope and strength and direction to your people. Lord, I ask you to bless us as we listen, that it would make a difference in our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the glory for what we learn and how it affects us, because we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're all on a faith journey of some kind together, and I wanted to talk about some of the elements of a faith journey. Did you know that one element of a faith journey is that faith often makes you feel uncomfortable? Walking by faith will make you feel comfortable. Some people think about faith as being a source of comfort, but walking by faith sometimes causes us to be uncomfortable. And most people don't like being uncomfortable. They like to know what's going on and have certainty about things. They like to be able to depend on certain things that they can see and they can understand and they can get their arms around. And I thought about how God created us and placed us in a world where we must depend upon things that we can't see and we don't understand. I want everybody to do this for a second. Put up a hand. Everybody put up a hand. All right, now I want you to inhale, exhale, and just hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it. When you can't hold it anymore, put your hand down. This is a contest. Hold it. I got 3, 4. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to pass out. Ooh, I am impressed. Did you ever think about swimming underwater? And oh, I still got 4. Somebody's a liar. Oh, we got 5. All right, there's a hand that went down. Okay, I got 4. Oh, Susan dropped out. I was pulling for you. I got 3. Yes. I got 2 over here. I didn't think it was going to go this long. I should have timed it. All right. I got 2. You can't talk and hold your breath. Just saying. Micah wins. Give Micah a hand. But I wanted to make a point about this. I wanted you to smile and have a good time in church, okay? But I want to make a point that, you know, everybody in this room depends on air to breathe. I don't know how many times we do it a minute, but we inhale oxygen, we exhale carbon dioxide, you know, and we do that all day long, and we never even think about it, do we? We never even think about the air that we breathe, but you depend upon breathing long before you understood it, and even though you can't understand it. You see, God placed us in a world where we must depend upon things that we don't fully understand and can't see, and I believe it's to train us. I was thinking about another thing. I was thinking about gravity. You know, gravity. You need gravity just to walk. You don't think about it, do you? You don't think about it at all, but there is a force that holds us down on the ground. Newton came up with those laws in, what, the 18th century, the laws of gravity, and he observed it, and he came up with some laws around it. I still don't fully understand it. I think Einstein explained it, but I didn't understand that either. But it's the idea that we are absolutely dependent on gravity just to walk around and do things. Nobody here is worried about gravity, are you? You're not planning your route to the door or either of the doors here with handholds. You don't have a tether that you latch onto things like they do in the space station because you're afraid you're going to float away. Nobody's worried about their heads hitting the fans up there as they're going around. By the way, if you ever have small children or grandchildren, don't throw them up in the air in a room that's got a ceiling fan. Just saying. If you came to church today and you were wondering if you got anything out of it, that's one you can take home, all right? I won't tell you how I know that, but you just don't do that. But you see, our lives depend on the fact that we rely on things that we don't see and we don't understand. And the text here tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence about things not seen. I have this picture here. And so there's this idea of faith, but faith makes us uncomfortable, doesn't it? I have this picture. This is Faith Dickey. I just read about her. I was kind of amazed. She's a young British woman. She likes to do this tightrope walking thing. She's 840 meters up somewhere down in Bolivia on a tightrope, and does anybody notice what she's wearing on her feet? They are pink, all right? That's her signature thing. She wears pink stilettos on the high wire, and I was thinking, that can't be comfortable. I'm just saying. The women might be thinking, wow, that looks really amazing, right? But it can't be comfortable, and to just take it a little step further, Carol has a beautiful set of shoes on. But do you want to try that? No. But what I learned was she's been doing this for a long time, walking on this. It's some kind of like X game thing or something that she's involved in. But she got kind of used to walking on the highway without shoes on and thought she would take it up another notch. And to me, that speaks to the fact that, you know, she didn't really care about the comfort so much. She was reaching for something that was well beyond her. I was thinking about the text I read this morning, and it talks about two of our faith heroes. By the way, I think everybody should regularly read this Hebrews chapter 11, because it tells us a lot about faith in our lives and things. And I just happen to choose two by faith. Noah, when he's warned about things not seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. You know what's interesting about Noah? He wasn't a boat builder. That's not what he did. In fact, he lived in a place where there were no boats. There wasn't a whole lot of water. He had never seen one before. And in case somebody corrects me, yeah, I know it's an ark. Okay, sometimes people correct you on things like that. I know it's an ark. But he had never seen one. And this was big. This was not a little boat. He didn't build a little papyrus raft that would float down the river with a couple ants in it or something. He built this massive boat, even though he'd never seen one. He had no model for one. All he had was what God told him to do. He said, build this thing and build it this big. And he gave him the plans. If you want to see how big it is, this summer, go out to Kansas, to where the Creation Museum is. They have Kentucky. Yeah, that's a different place than Kansas. I am glad that Charles is in the back. She might be upset with me because she's from Kansas, right? Yeah, I knew that. I was just testing you all. But it's out there, and it's this huge thing that he built. And I was thinking, that couldn't be comfortable. Like, what if he failed? I mean, he knew that he was building this thing to save his family. What if he failed? What happens if it didn't work? What happens if the weight of all those animals destroyed it? Nevertheless, Noah built that ark. And I was thinking about Abraham. His faith journey couldn't have been all that comfortable either, because it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place, and obeyed even though he didn't know where he was going. You know, that's kind of an uncomfortable thing, isn't it? Going someplace when you don't know where you're going. I think I've told this story enough to my daughter won't be embarrassed anymore, but we used to go for our Sunday afternoon rides when our kids were younger, and on one ride, a certain child in the back started to ask a bunch of questions. What happens if we get lost? What happens if we run out of gas? What happens if we can't find our way back home? What happens if the car breaks down? And, I mean, just one after the next, and it just thought to myself, none of those things have ever happened, you know? But nevertheless, she was concerned about where we were going, and she needed to have all the details. And I thought, walking by faith can be uncomfortable. I was thinking that some of our young people are going off to college this summer. And for them, the first time away from home might be uncomfortable. I think I'm down to only one this morning. I'm looking over, and I think it's just Joy. Nobody else is going. Oh, David. I didn't see David behind Joy. So you're going off to college for the first time. And although Joy's been away from family for a long time, she's gotten kind of comfortable here in Northern Virginia. But David, I'm pretty sure it's the first time you're going away for any extended period of time. Good thing for the Boy Scouts. All right? It'll probably be just a little bit more comfortable than laying on the ground. But it'll be different. It'll be unique. You know what else is going on in your lives? And I've been thinking a lot about our young people lately. You're going to choose a course of study, aren't you? All right? You're going to choose a course of study. And I think by faith, you can look at your abilities and choose something that's safe or easy, right? Or you can choose something that's going to stretch you a little bit. And I always think about the fact that as Christ followers, God is with us, right? God helps us. He directs us. He guides us. He speaks to us. He provides for us. And I just wanted to tell you that that might be a little uncomfortable for you, all right? But you know that he's going to be with you, because on this faith journey, it's going to be a little uncomfortable, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes we live in a world where, or at least in a culture, where we try to make ourselves so comfortable. And you know what? Sometimes being uncomfortable is a good thing. Being uncomfortable does something to us. It forces us almost to trust God. And there's nothing, so this idea of always trying to look for the easy, the safe, the trusted is not always the way that God has for us. I was thinking about, you know, you're as a child or someone who's going off to school, there's a level of discomfort. And of course, choosing a major that's just a little bit out of reach might be uncomfortable. But the same thing goes for adults, choosing a career path. Going into business for yourself, those things, going into the military, you know, all of those things can be a little bit uncomfortable. But I think as Christians, we have the knowledge that wherever we go, if we're walking with God, then God is going to go with us. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how there's some similarity here between our situation as a church, and I've talked about this a little bit, and I'm going to try to talk about it more, but we've been attending here in this building at the kindness of those that own the building, and things may change later on this year. In August, we're not sure how things are going to turn out, but I was thinking about how that might make us feel uncomfortable, you know, like Noah. We're building something here. Can I get an amen? We're building something here that saves people, right? People come in every year. People come into our church. Every year they get saved. Every year we baptize some. By the way, we're planning our baptismal probably June or July of this year. And so we're going to go down the river and we're going to baptize in the river. If you've come to faith in Christ and you'd like to get baptized, just let me know. I'll talk more about that. But every year we do those things. Every year we touch people out in the community. That's part of what we're doing with outreach. And some of that will all make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, just the unknown about what's going on in the future. Abraham, he didn't know where he was going, and I can't tell you exactly how everything's going to turn out, and that might make you feel uncomfortable, but the truth is that a faith walk always will have some level of discomfort in it. Let me give you another one here this morning. Your faith journey might be uncomfortable, but your faith is essential for this walk with God. I found this quote from Martin Luther. It says, God our Father has made all things depend on faith. That so whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. You see, faith is an essential in your life. I got a little picture of a little drop of water there, because like air, water is an absolute necessity. Without water, you're going to die. In fact, you can go a long time without food. Now, this might be a revelation, right? But you can go a long time without food. This is a bigger revelation. You might go a long time without coffee. I know I'm stretching my credibility this morning by saying you can go a long time without coffee, but you really can go a long time without coffee. And here's the big one. You can go a long time without a cell phone. Really. All right, you can go a long time without a cell phone. You could put that cell phone at home, leave it there, and go away for a whole day and come back, and everything's going to be just fine, even though you don't believe it. But you won't be able to go very long without water. See, water is an essential for your life. And the truth is that your walk with the Lord is impossible without faith, because without faith, you don't have a faith journey. I was thinking about this text here, and it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to believe God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And so there's this idea that we have to have faith. And I was thinking about, You know, how many parents are frustrated or displeased when your children don't trust you? I told you the story about the car drive, all right? And it was just the weirdest thing in the whole world, thinking that my children didn't think that I had the wherewithal to get us, take us for a ride and get us back home again. And I was thinking, that's the way God feels. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, and so I wrote down, what is faith supposed to do? I'm going to tell you something, that faith is supposed to produce in you a hopefulness and an expectancy about all aspects of life. The Bible says this, and I wrote this down, and faith always encourages us to look up rather than down. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no eye, ear has heard, nor mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You see, it's by faith that we're enabled to take risks and stretch ourselves a little bit, not because of what we're capable of, but because of what God is capable of. I read a story about a man named Ron Butterfield. He taught a class of special needs teenagers, and the one thing that he wanted to do more than anything else was help them to believe. And so he taught them how to do things that people thought those kids weren't able to do. He taught them to play chess, to restore furniture, to repair electrical appliances. And young Bobby was one of his students. And one day he brought a broken toaster to the school to repair it. And so he had the toaster tucked under one arm and a half loaf of bread under the other arm. And I was thinking about how this young boy had learned to believe that, yes, he could do that. And why can I say this? Why can I say that we can do the impossible? Because the Bible says nothing is impossible with God. You see, in life, your faith is going to determine your expectancies about the things that you want to do or the things that you can do. And that will determine how much you're willing to invest and how much you're willing to endure in order to reach that lofty goal. I wish I had grabbed the film clip. It just came to mind. But I'm a big fan of Spider-Man 2. Any fans of, it's like the best movie ever, is Spider-Man 2. And there's this one scene where Spider-Man is kind of decided he's not going to be Spider-Man anymore. All right, and he comes home and all sorts of bad things are happening. And his aunt, what's her name, Aunt B? Aunt May. Aunt B was from Andy Griffith's show. Yeah, that's right. See, I was just dating myself. But Aunt May talks to him about the need for heroes. And she says, heroes teach us something. They give us hope that we hold on for just one more moment or one more second when we think we're running out of time. And I was thinking about this idea that nothing is impossible with God. You know, with God's help, we're always able to do more than we can without his help. Say that again, sister. Amen. We're always going to be able to do more. I think about the benefit of being in a right relationship with God through Christ is, with God, we're always up here. Amen? And you say, well, maybe we're not. I say, yes, we are. See, that's the problem. Faith sees the things that are unseen. Faith has an expectancy about life. That's why I can say to these young people, reach a little bit higher. Reach a little higher. The Bible says he is able to do exceedingly more than all we ask or imagine because of the power that's at work within you. And if you read that entire chapter in Ephesians, you find out the power he's talking about is the power of the resurrection that brings life from death. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do more and give us capacity beyond ourselves. You see, your faith can enable you to pursue more challenging course of study at school, but it also enable you to persevere when times get tough. Can you just stop and think about that a little bit? You see, faith enables you to persevere because, you know, it's not just me. God can help me. God can make something happen. I don't know what's going to happen next, but I know that whatever happens next, God is going to be there in the next moment. He said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I love the idea of God walking with us, holding our hand, but the Bible says he also goes ahead of us. He knows what's going to happen next, even when we don't know what's going to happen next. I love the idea of God being my rear guard, the one that's walking behind me, because there's a whole bunch of my life that I can't see. My field of view is about here to here, and I've got this big old blind spot in the back. And you see, when God's walking behind you, he sees all the things that are going around you. And, you know, he's promised to work things together for our good. So he's there to kind of coordinate things. And in my life, what I've seen, that when I've walked with him by faith, he's helped me to avoid things. He's helped me to avoid things. You see, faith is essential for the journey because you have to trust in God. I was thinking about things that we sometimes have a rough time with in our life. We have a rough time with other people. Anybody have a rough time with other people and you want to give up on other people? And by faith, I can say, nope, God can still change them. Can I get an amen from somebody? Say that to yourself. God can still change somebody else. By the way, when you point your fingers at other people, there are a couple of them pointing back here. There's a truth you got to embrace. God can change me. Can you say that? God can change me. And so there's things that have to change in our life, and sometimes the things that have to change. And we're willing to push on a little bit more because we know that God can change others and God can change us. And then we don't have to quit, because with God, all things are possible. Let me give you one more this morning. Faith isn't something that just happens up here. Faith affects what we actually do. I was looking at the miracle of the loaves of fishes, and I realized how that took place was, actually I knew this, I just remembered, there's this big crowd of people and they wanted to feed them, and they didn't know how they were going to feed them because they just had a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread. There's like thousands of people out there. And there was a process that took place. Well, they took what they had and they gave it to Jesus, and he blessed it. And then it multiplied. You see, blessing is when God multiplies our efforts. And in the Bible, you'll find examples of God either adding or multiplying. I like multiplication better. It's quicker, it's easier. But this idea of multiplication is that's God's blessing in your life. And whether it talks about, you know, course of study at school or things in your home or whatever. It's the idea that I do what I can do, and then I trust God to do what I couldn't possibly do. Think about that ark story again. Noah's like one guy, right? Noah was one guy. That was a really big ark. And I don't know if you've done any construction in your life, but just the whole idea of moving around big timbers and big beams that would be required to build this thing would be an enormous task. And how many helpers did he have? Probably his sons, and probably that's it. Or, you know what? Probably, if it was anything like my family, his sons and his daughters-in-law. I mean, everybody gets involved when you have a big project like that. But that's only like seven people: his wife, his three sons, his three daughters, and himself. And they're building this ark thing. And I thought, he couldn't have done it by himself. He had to have God's help to do it. He had to have his help. And I thought about, but he did what he could do. He cut down the trees. He made the beams. He started the process. He did what he could do, and then God did what he couldn't do. Think about Abraham. He's going to possess this land. I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to give you people. And he says, where? And the Lord says, don't worry about it. I'll show you. But what does Abraham do? He starts to walk. He starts to take one step at a time, and he heads on this journey, and he took his family along with him. And so one step at a time, and along the way, God met him, and cause things to happen. In fact, even the fact that he had a child eventually was the supernatural intervention of God. Noah did what he could do, and God did what he couldn't do. Abraham did what he could do, and God did what only God could do. And so we see this process of taking a step of faith and trusting God for what he's going to do. And I was applying this to the church situation that I've been talking about a little bit. So what can we do? What can we do about the future of where we're going to meet and everything like that? And I thought, you know, one thing we could do, and this is a step of faith, we could start putting money into a building fund. All right, we've got a building fund. There's money in the building fund. We need to increase that. And that's something we can do by faith. And so whether it's a purchase of some kind or a rental or something like that, we're going to need some money. And I thought, well, when we get there, whenever there is, because the time isn't clear, we'll have built up this fund. We'll do what we can do, but then we trust God to do what we can't do. I was thinking about this one. In order to sign a contract or purchase property, we need to be incorporated, all right? In order to be incorporated, and we're under the district right now and under a district charter, but in order to incorporate, we need membership. And we've really never pushed for membership in our church before, right? We haven't pushed for it. But now it looks to me like if we want to move forward and either sign a contract or purchase property or anything like that, we'll have to have a membership drive. And so what I would ask you guys to do is become members of the church, and we'll be talking about that in the future. But it's something we can do, you understand? We're going to do the things we can do, and then we trust God to do the things we can't do. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue the mission of the church. Amen? And we're going to grow. And you know, I'm really pleased with the outreach plan that we've got for Labor Day coming up. We're doing a number of things to be involved and engage ourselves in the community. I think having the water bottles out there, and there's going to be sunscreen out there and some things like that, all connected with our name, gives us some more positive visibility. We have this church sign. We are known as the church with the really interesting signs out front. Sometimes the really cool signs, usually the really interesting signs. And so we've got something going there where we're getting good recognition in the community, and I believe that when people see a church that they can connect with, and that's why I think the Saturday night concert, hanging out with our friends, gives us an opportunity to bring them in, is an outreach activity. So we're going to continue to do that. We continue to disciple. We're going to continue to baptize. We're going to do the things that we do as a church. We're going to do what we can do, and we're going to trust God to do what we cannot do. Amen? And then, of course, we're going to pray. You know, sometimes prayer is the last thing that we think of doing when it ought to be the first thing. It ought to be the first thing. And so we're going to pray. We're going to say, God, lead us, guide us, direct us. Work things out. Work things out, because there are certain things that we can do and there's things that we can't do. And we're going to trust God for his provision and for his leading, because this is the way that faith works. Sometimes faith makes you feel a little uncomfortable, but faith is essential, and faith is what brings God's blessing. I was thinking about closing this morning and asking the praise team to come up this morning. Maybe you're here today, and there's something uncertain about your future. I don't know what it is. It could be anything. It could be a health situation. It could be a health situation. It could be a financial situation. It could be a home situation. It could be a career situation. It could be a job that you either are afraid of losing or trying to get, and you're feeling a little uncomfortable about that. Well, join the club. That's just the way the faith walk is. There are times when trusting God is a source of comfort, in the midst of the in the midst of the discomfort. Now, share a verse of scripture that you might want to write down and memorize and add to your arsenal of weapons when you feel uncomfortable. So Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says this: "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I like that, don't you? So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's going on. I was thinking about CW and Lisa. You're selling your house here in Virginia and moving to Florida. I guess that's a little like Abraham, huh? You don't know where you're going. But you did say you were going to have an extra room so I could come visit, right? I'm thinking by faith, you could just go ahead with that plan. I'm hoping God says no. I'm hoping God says no. But if God says yes, then go for it. Go for it. You know, I was thinking, John, you got a lot of resumes out and applications in. Don't be afraid. He's got something for you. He's got you covered. I believe you're going to get a job with all those benefits. It's going to free up Mavish so she can get the job that God wants her to have too. Looking around, Micah, I'm going to brag on this guy a little bit. He's a pastor's kid, and I think pastor's kids are great. This kid is brilliant, though. He doesn't want to rack up a bunch of student loan debt. So he's working a little bit, and then he's going to go to school for a little bit, and then he's going to work for a little bit. And I just think, you know, I don't think God wants you to graduate with huge college debt. I think God's going to bless that. I believe that, and you're going to finish. That's where I was trying to go, is this method of trying to finish school that way might seem like it's going to take forever. Well, it took Noah 100 years to build the ark, okay? And I think it was 100 years. He was a little older than you when he started. So I just thought I'd give some encouragement this morning, whatever the subject is. Merlin, you want to go see your boy graduate from the Marines, all right? One step at a time, Merlin. When do you have to be there? June 27th. Oh, that's plenty of time. Oh, that's plenty of time. No problem. She wants to go see her son graduate from the Marines. He just finished up. David, you're heading off. No, you're not heading off. Sorry. God's got another plan, okay? You know what's really cool about this faith walk that we have? You know, the Bible says many are the plans of a man's heart. But what's the rest of it? But God directs our steps. So he's got another plan. I want you to keep making plans, all right? I want you to keep asking God to direct you in your plans. And you make your plan and ask God to bless you in your plans, right? And see where this thing takes you. God's got an amazing plan for your life. You ought to write down Jeremiah 29:11. Have you memorized that one? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future." That's right from God's word, all right? So he's got plans, and he's going to make a way for you, my friend and my brother. Anybody else? Anybody else need to be lifted up today? I'm kind of like on a roll now. All right, so this is good stuff. This is, go ahead, Merlin. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, this is something you might, I don't know what your faith is like. But you know what my faith is like? It gives me expectancy. Causes me to look up instead of down. All right? Because if you look down too much, you're going to trip. You know, you're going to miss things if you're always looking down. You know, you look up and God opens up all these possibilities in life. Some people think that church is only for spiritual stuff. I'm going to tell you, every element of your life ought to be spiritual. All of your life should be lived in obedience to Him. All of your life should be lived with faith and confidence in Him. Can I get an amen from somebody this morning? And there is no divide. It's just one thing. You have one life. You're one person. Your body, your soul, your spirit is all part of one whole that makes up you. And God says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Would you stand? We're going to sing this as a closing.